So Jonathan Steckerty is going to be talking about Go Dublin, LAFTA's TNC partnership. Jonathan's the Customer Service and Contracts Compliance Manager for LAFTA. He oversees LAFTA's two operations contractors. He's also the project manager for LAFTA on their TNC partnerships and shared autonomous vehicle pilot. Jonathan has more than 15 years' experience in transportation since he was a driver in college at UC Davis. Jonathan has managed fixed route paratransit and school bus operations across the country, and he was recently named one of the top 40 under 40 transportation professionals for 2019 in Mass Transit magazine. Let's welcome Jonathan Steckerty. Thanks.
Tim's over here making me like nervous now. He's like, you're a celebrity. I'm like, no, I don't want that.
He's fancy.
But I'm really glad to be here. A lot of familiar faces, some new faces in the audience. So thanks for coming. I'm going to talk about Go Dublin, which is our TNC partnership. We're going to talk about the move that started it all, why we have a TNC partnership, why Go Dublin, why not Go Dublin, some program structure, program results, and some lessons learned. So the move that started it all, the challenge, this is again fixed route. So we are looking at our comprehensive operational analysis in 2016, and we had a problem. We had a declining ridership of 5% and an increase in cost of 29%. That's not good. So change was necessary. And what we ended up doing was looking at the routes and looking at what's productive and what's not productive. And we found that in the city of Dublin, so we cover three different cities, Pleasanton, Livermore, and Dublin. Dublin was not using the fixed route bus. And so post COA or post the comprehensive operational assessment, we eliminated pretty much all of our fixed route buses in the city of Dublin, with the exception of the Route 1 that runs to the jail. For some reason, they wanted to keep that one to go pick up people and take them to BART. And then one other neighborhood. So why Go Dublin? It helped solve the coverage versus frequency challenge. So a lot of what we talked about in the COA was, do we put the fixed route where there's a lot of people that are going to use it, or do we focus on that coverage so that everybody has access? It has minimal infrastructure change. It's very quick for us to be able to make a change and adapt the service. It enables us, the transit agencies, to promote shared rides on our service, and I'll get into the structure, but everybody's required to choose share ride option. They don't have the option for the individual ride. And then there's a little quote that was long ago, it seems now, but Uber and Lyft transit agencies see the potential for partnerships, and we have. So talking about why not Go Dublin, obviously there was a concern that TNC's partnerships will destroy our bus ridership, and I'll address that concern. Well, the TNC partnership made more traffic than less, and I think that that's one that's possible. Shared ride definitely helps eliminate that. Is this in line with our vision? Is this what we want to offer? Is this the best cost of public dollars going to accessibility? So those were the questions that we were asking ourselves when we thought about implementing. So now we know that, we feel that TNCs are a bridge to mass transit. And we'll talk about the program structure. So Go Dublin is a simple promo code that you enter into either Uber or Lyft, where you get your fare subsidized by 50% up to $5. So if you had a $10 fare, it'd be $5 to you, $5 to us as the agency. If you had a $15 fare, then it'd be $10 to you and $5 to us, right? Because we cap it at $5 subsidy. And it is available anywhere in the city of Dublin. So as long as your pickup and drop off are in the city of Dublin, you're good to go. And people access it via the app. talking about some results, and I think these are really exciting. Pre-COA, this is just in the city of Dublin, we were spending about $250,000 providing fixed route service. Average daily ridership was 42 people, and the average subsidy per person was $26.13. During the COA, they imagined something called Wheels on Demand, which was very much similar to a TNC partnership. They thought it would cost around $61,000. We're very ambitious that they're going to get 120 riders, and the average subsidy would be $4 to $10. Our results, the program cost us about $34,000. We're up to 43 riders per day on average, and the cost to the agency is $3.16, which is also the cost to the passenger, right? Because we're not at that $5 mark. So it's a little bit more expensive than our fixed route. Our fixed route is at $2. But then also our guide ride is at $3.75. So, and I'll talk, we actually just started this year, including this on the parataxi. So to differentiate, our parataxi service also has TNCs, but they don't necessarily have to go with this program. And our parataxi program is 85% subsidy up to $20 for riders. So that's an even bigger subsidy for individuals that are ADA certified. Go, clicker, go. There we go. So the question was, like, are people using this for what we want them to use it for? And the answer is yes. Most trips were, 88% of them were in the weekday. Distance is less than 6 miles. And I think I have my arrow reversed there that I never fixed. Yeah, I messed it up. Alligator went the wrong way. Travel time between 0 and 10 minutes, and 94% were less than 15 minutes. First to mile drop off, so we don't know exactly where people get on and get off. That's more information than I want to know about our riders. But what we do know is these wonderful heat maps, and we know that they're going to park, they're connecting to the bus. And then fare is $3.16 versus our $2 I touched on. Ridership, did it cannibalize? The answer is no. Our fixed route ridership in Dublin, you can see, has really taken off. In 2017 to 2018 was a modest increase, but 2018 to 2019 was quite a large increase, 40,000 more riders. And Go Dublin is continuing to climb ever steadily, about 1,000 more riders between 2018 and 2019. Should point out, these are fiscal years. So we don't have all the data in for the year of 2019, right? Our fiscal year ends in July. So let's talk about lessons learned. So a couple things. A promo agreement works just fine. We were concerned, we thought, do we need to go out and do a request for proposal? Or do we just let everybody that meets minimum criteria into the game? And the answer is, for us at least, let them in. People like choice, and so Uber and Lyft right now participate with us, but any other TNC that came along that can meet the minimum standards, for example, having background checks for their operators and the safety that's in the TNCs right now, can join in, and they can participate in the program. The model works. It is a solution for a fixed route. I should point out on the model works as well, one key thing that we have in our service area in regards to ADA paratransit is that we offer ADA paratransit service across our entire service area, not just within 3/4 of a mile of fixed route. So when we introduced Dublin, Go Dublin, there was ADA paratransit service already in place for that entire area. TNCs can enhance transit operations. We're seeing an increase in ridership. We are where most agencies are struggling or seeing a decline. This year we are about 13-14% up so far, and we just keep going. So it's a good thing. And then data, a lot of people ask about data, what data is available. Really, we found with our partnerships that there's a lot of data available, but you need to ask for it in a specific and meaningful way. there's a lot more data available, right, because it's so intimate, it's individual apps, that the TNCs, and I really appreciate this, want to protect people's privacy, so they will ask, why do you need that data, and how is it going to help? But in our partnership, we've been able to get all the information that we need to determine whether or not the project's going well. Couple things that I'll add on to this is that we had some questions and some challenges at the beginning, right? One of them, which we've talked about a lot today, was wheelchair accessibility. We've been lucky in the Tri-Valley to overcome that with Uber Wave. So Uber's wheelchair accessible vehicle program is in the Tri-Valley, and so people have been able to utilize that. We've had a lot of success with it, which I know is not necessarily across the board, but our users that utilize a wheelchair have about the same amount of time to wait as a ambulatory person. The fares are very much in line with the fares for an ambulatory shared ride. So overall, it's been really good. A couple of our TAC members, our accessibility committee, take it regularly and just say that it's a game changer for them. So I'm happy to report that. The other one was credit card access. Having that ability for individuals that don't have a credit card be able to utilize the system. I think that we're still looking to improve this, but one thing that we did find was American Express has a Blue Bird card that they partnered with Walmart and a couple other stores. And the importance there was that we didn't want one with a high fee in order to get the card. That's not what we want. And number two is we wanted any amount to be able to put on the card. We don't want people to have to put $50 on the card, or my favorite, like the Starbucks rewards, right? You got to load it with $25 every time you go instead of like $5 for a coffee. So you can put any amount on the Bluebird card. You could go in and put $5. There's no cost to put that on. So that's an option that we pointed out and we found for customers. I think that we could still continue to improve that and find more. And finally, for those individuals that don't use or are not able to use a smartphone, we actually just finished our agreement with a company, a local Bay Area company called Google Grandparent. Not the best name in the world, but I appreciate where it came from. It came from the founder needing a solution for his grandparents to ride TNCs. But what it is a call service where individuals can call. All they have to do is mention that they want the Go Dublin promo. And as long as it's in the city of Dublin, they qualify. And it adds some enhancements to it. It reminds you of where home is, so if there's a cognitive issue, they can just press one, and that means I want to go home. There's also some tracking, which Tim talked about, like loved ones being able to track and know where someone is. So it's an enhancement above and beyond, but in its core service, it allows individuals that are not able to use a smartphone to get service. And finally, the last one was, what happens if I can't afford a smartphone? Again, we can all look to improve things. One of the things that we put on our website and resource for individuals was the California Lifeline, where they can get a free smartphone with data. So we definitely have made that available on our website for individuals to go to. And one more slide, my favorite slide. The road to the future never ends. On screen is our shared autonomous vehicle, which will be out at the Dublin BART here very shortly. I call it the happy little toaster. So hopefully the happy little toaster will be rolling here very shortly. Thank you guys very much.
Great.
Thanks, Jonathan. Thank you, Jonathan. Any clarification questions? Could you take the mic over, please? Thanks, Roberto's coming with the mic. Now, behind you.
I actually have like two questions, but I'll go with the first one. Did I hear you correctly when you said that you closed down some of the fixed route? And how does that affect people who are ADA qualified for such services and their ability to get the service?
You mean like get the dial-a-ride service, the ADA paratransit side?
Yeah, no, because normally, because it's all related to the fixed route. If you don't have fixed route in an area, you can't have ADA access.
Gotcha.
So
So that's one piece that I won't say unique, but one thing that we have is a enhanced ADA service, meaning that anywhere in our service area, so the three cities, you're eligible for a ride on ADA paratransit service. So it's not dependent on a fixed route being there. We view Go Dublin as fixed route service, and so if we were to scale back, we would keep ADA service there because the Go Dublin there is more of a fixed route alternative.
And my second question, if I could get it in, how does your, is there same day availability for those who need the para of taxis?
So our Dial-A-Ride doesn't have same day availability. Two that I mentioned, one, the Go Dublin program does. And then number two is we actually have a separate program called Parataxi that I mentioned. That's through local taxi companies and our TNCs. And that's a subsidy of 85% of the fare up to $20. So while our paratransit service is not same day, we're really trying to find these innovative alternate solutions in order to provide both same day and that scheduled.
How is that working out for consumers at this point? Because there's still a lot of gaps all over the state as far as being able to get taxis for us with larger wheelchairs that are same day. So how's that work? Do you have any type of feedback at this point from your consumers that would just be able to give us some idea of how they're liking this
service? Sure. So, yes. Some preliminary data. So, our fare taxi program is up by about 6% this year so far. And our Dial-A-Ride stayed even. Well, we keep getting more and more registered users and ADA certified users. So, what that's telling me is that people are enjoying and preferring those alternative services, but I'm really glad we have that core ADA service there as well, because it's not a solution for everyone. Obviously, our operators on ADA paratransit are the most trained, that they understand that they need to give the most support, but I like to think of it as levels of restriction, right? And the ability to strive towards that freedom is what we want to do while keeping that base core for everyone.
Hello, Jonathan.
Hello, Sean.
I want to pick on you for just a second.
Let's go.
How come he can charge $10 and whatever cents, I mean $1, and you and give us $4?
Yeah, Jonathan, how come?
Yeah, how come? Man, we have a dumb question. You know, Sean, I'll give you the answer that I at least look for. Obviously, these policies are determined by our board of directors, et cetera. But you have to look at, you only have so much of the pie, right? The pie is the amount of money that we have in our budget. And to focus on that and find out what's the most equitable solution isn't easy, but that's what they've done. And so we could charge less in theory, but then maybe have less service. And so it's all about a balance, which, you know, I don't know if we have the perfect solution. I don't know if Tim does, but I think we all strive to be equitable for people, affordable, and give the maximum amount of freedom.
Okay.
Right. How's that, Sean?
Well, for almost $4, I would think that you would give us wheelchair people drivers that will not argue with us, when we cannot turn our chairs around, when the, you know, I'm just trying to give them that time.
Okay. But Sean, I want to make sure we got enough time for other questions.
All right, thanks.
Okay. Thanks very much, Jonathan.